Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Things stoked up. Purton says, come on, boy. Show the Aussies what you've got. Kaying Rising moved up to overpass. Clear from Jimmy Starr, but Kaying Rising, champions do what others can't. He's the world's best sprinter, no doubt.
I'm thunderstruck, needing to get there. Alligator blood tiring. I'm thunderstruck over the top, rumbling hard, and got up. I'm thunderstruck, I reckon it's just beaten Alligator blood into beauty. Zaghi joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face at the 150. Animo takes the lead from Zaghi. Alligator blood, I'm thunderstruck, but it's Animo clear. I'm thunderstruck late. Animo holding on. Animo this time for the big A. What a from I'm thunderstruck. El Monagon Wicks down the middle. Kings will dream at the 100. It's getting desperate now. Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Arch is too good. They can't beat it.
G'day punters, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast. The bulk of the spring carnival is definitely over. It definitely feels like that this week, but no more sob stories. We do have the Zipping Classic to preview this weekend. We've also got the Winterbottom Stakes over at Ascot. In about 20 minutes time, we'll have the pride of Western Australia, Daniel Cripps, joining us to go through it. He is a pro from out the west, and he'll have bets galore for us over at Ascot. Nico, how are you, mate? The botter isn't joining us today. The man has had an absolute fill-up betting at Mornington, of all places, and he's out and hitting the town. He needed a little bit of a freshen-up.
Well, it's just unbelievable scenes, really. Just a maiden on a Thursday at Mornington, and, the carry-on, like, fair dinkum. It's like he's won a Group 1 that he's bred and owned 100% of and probably ridden, backed. The worst.
We might have to post a video on Twitter. He will absolutely hate it.
Oh, 100%.
But someone has filmed the botter kicking home path to profit in race four today at Mornington. It was $1.90. I'm sure he got some black figures about this horse. And it's quite remarkable. You never see bot that animated, do you?
That's what makes me think there was a little bit more on than usual. But anyway, good on him. It's been a little while in between drinks for him, so.
Did you see what happened today at Mornington?
As in, luckily all the favourites
eight races
won,
run, or? Eight favourites got the job done. Incredible scenes.
Well, there shouldn't be too many disappointed punters out there, but I backed the one in the last. That Bazzaball rewarded.
Bazzaball rewarded. The Poms didn't get rewarded from the Brendan McCullum antics in the first Ashes test, but this horse is an absolute jet around the Mornington 1,000 metres.
Yeah, 100%. I've actually backed it. Well, I've had bets on it three times this preparation. I backed it three back when it won, and then I laid at the place last time at when it went to 1,200 metres, and it got nabbed right on the line to run fourth, which was good, and then I backed it again today. So, yeah, it's just a
just
horse
a bit of a trumpet.
Well, no real good odds about it, but any winner's a good winner. It's just a horse that puts itself up on speed and has loved Mornington, really. So
Home track specialist, and it also has the 1,000-metre track record around Mornington. I think that was the win three or four back, and it broke the track record.
Yeah, it's absolutely flying. So a horse like that would be spewing that the valley's gone. So there'd be some serious incentives for it over the summer period, but yeah, good on him. Fast horses.
There's always Cranbourne, Nico. There's always Cranbourne.
Yeah, but who knows what you're going to get there. So,
Yeah. We're going to go straight to Caulfield, where we always do start. Rail is out this weekend. Rail's out 9 metres. I don't think I'm going to go into this meeting with any preconceived ideas about how the track might play. But what we do have to note, Nico, is that we could get 10 mils of rain on Saturday. So I'm doing my form for a soft track.
Yeah, well, I've just sort of learned over the time just to not sort of really worry about what's forecasted for Caulfield, because it seems as though there's a dome around the race course. When they're meant to get rain, yeah, they don't get it.
It's happened a couple of times.
And it could be raining 500 metres away and it's not raining there. So, yeah, look, to be honest, I sort of didn't give it too much time. Yeah, as we've sort of said the last couple of weeks, all the focus moves to WA now. So, yeah, it's kind of good that Bot's not on tonight, because we can just sort of give it a quick run through and then be done with it.
Yeah, it'll probably be a shorter podcast tonight, but there's nothing wrong with that. We'll get the chance to chat with Daniel a little bit more. We didn't actually touch on Sha Tin on our preview podcast last week, or else it would have gone for too long. But
I don't want to talk
Romantic
about
Warrior
it.
And Kaying Rising back in style. Our day was ruined a little bit because My Wish couldn't get the job done.
Yeah.
But it was good to see the two champs do their thing.
Yeah, without a doubt. But when you've taken the treble, it's a sour taste in your mouth that you've seen two champions duly piss in and then absolutely just crunch SP with your bet. All I needed was just to run a place. I had $1.30 just to run a place. So I had $1.25 to win.
So a quick yes or no, is My Wish overrated?
Well, it's got a lot of wishing to do to get itself back on track.
Yeah, and we had the news come through yesterday that Voyage Bubble is dropping back from the 2000 back to the mile, a race he won last year. I think he SP'd around $2.60 favourite, and 2000 back to a mile, maybe not ideal preparation, but no doubt he's the horse to beat.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Very smart to go back a trip, I think. He was never sort of going to beat Romantic Warrior anyway.
No.
And I think they've made the right choice coming back to the mile rather than going to the Vars, because that looks sort of pretty solid race on paper if they head that way. But, yeah.
Best Vars in years, I reckon.
Yeah, I think that's probably a fair statement. But, yeah, he deserves to be favourite Voyage Bubble. For the mile, and he'll be awfully hard to beat. But if you backed My Wish on Sunday, you're sort of going to get a price to have something on.
He'll be like $6 probably.
You just have to, because, you know, he could easily turn his form around, but it was very sort of what the fuck the run. Like, he was in a perfect spot, loomed up, looked like he was going to win by 3, and then just... Yeah. Sort of found nothing.
The only thing I will say, he got a little bit keen in the run, but I was still disappointed he didn't even run top 3.
I'm not sort of making too many excuses.
The sprint and the cup are as good as over, I'm going to say. Kaying Rising will just win, and Romantic Warrior will just win as well.
Next year's Everest is just over.
Oh, it's all over. He won't lose a race again before he retires.
Yep. Like, that was just unbelievable. But Hayes sort
He's
of
back
said-
to his best.
Hayes said that he was better once he got back from the trip, and everyone sort of said, well, he can't really get much better. But, yeah, that was something. I want to see him fully pushed out one day to see what sort of time he can run. Like, I don't think there's a lot more there, but, yeah, it'd be sexy.
100%. He was .00...
What? Shane Dye just dying on the same hill that he's better than Black Caviar.
Oh, I can't have that. I can't have him that he's better than Black Caviar, but he's very, very good. He's probably a couple lengths off her.
Well, to me, it's not even a discussion, because she never got beat.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to. He's not in her category just yet by any means.
But I don't think you'll ever. I don't think you can ever compare the two, because she was perfect. And he's been beaten.
It's such a shame that Kaying got beat by Wonderbar those 2 times. How? And both of them by a nose as well, I think.
And J-Mac,
might have been riding him. Yeah. Anyway.
Crazy.
That's a little shame, but It just shows there is only one black caviar, and maybe there will only ever be one black caviar. Frankel went 14 out of 14 or something, but, you know.
What about J-Mac? Just goes over there.
Small cap behavior that he didn't race on further than that.
Oh, yeah, 100%. J-Mac just goes over there, already dominating, second in the sprint.
Yeah.
Then wins the other two.
The Rodham Galaxy patch was an absolute 10.
Oh.
Didn't go around a horse.
Yeah, that sort of hurt a little bit because he was a good horse to us a little while ago, Galaxy Patch, and he's completely lost his way.
He's been a great horse. He's just been a bit hard to catch.
Jury out with some of those other sprinters. The other Hayes horse, Helios, bounced back to form.
Yeah. Tomodachi Kokoro was coming up a lot in the weights, so that might be something, but yeah, Kane Rising just wins. We've got to rip into this program, Nico.
Yeah, done.
Caulfield, as mentioned, the rail is out 9 metres. There is a bit of rain forecast. The race we're going to start in is race two. The listed Merson Cooper for our two-year-olds, almost an angel. Gee, this was an impressive win on the Caulfield Heath track. She is the $4.20 favourite from Alibaba, $4.40. The Alabama Express Colt is trialled up a treat. Morning Whisper also trialled very good. Luna Vega, so they're $4.40 and $5. Luna Vega, $9. And Simply Steffi, $10. Well, I was sitting at the buzzer waiting for the price of Alibaba to go up. They went up $8. I just missed that. Some of the boys got $7.50. I was able to lock in $6. He looks a pretty impressive type.
Yeah, 100% he does. That last jump-out trial was sort of pretty eye-catching. Like, horses don't really do that around that track. And for such an inexperienced horse, like, he's obviously got a motor there, and I think he's got a lot of furnishing to do as a racehorse. So that's sort of exciting. And you can sort of line a bit of that form up trial to trial. So Clarkie's horse, who is, what's it called in this race? It's right down the bottom. It's Drawn Horrible. Where is it? Eternal Warrior. He trialed second to it last time, and he actually trialed second to the favorite, Almost an Angel. And that was a pretty sort of impressive win from Almost an Angel on debut, especially so you think as a two-year-old they sort of don't really do that. So yeah, there's a few sort of talented horses in this race, but you know, it's all going to depend on what happens, you know, on race day for the first time, et cetera, et cetera. If Alibaba can sort of hold a bit more of a prominent position with Willow from four, well, you know, that's going to be pretty exciting. So, you know, that'd be the on top, but sort of no firm opinion in this race. And just hope Clarkie's horse has a good experience. Looks like it's got sort of good talent. It's a good looking horse, but Barrier 13 on debut has got everything against it. So, low stake race, but we'll learn more from it. But looks a few good types.
Yeah, we've got a good price anyway, $6 for Alibaba. it does look a very good race. These 2-year-olds, they look more than above average. Almost an Angel came off a fast tempo and still broke benchmark that final 400 meters by about 3 lengths, was just running all over them. Yeah. Probably a deserved favorite, but Alibaba is my on topper. I've had a bet. Morning Whisper, this one also trialed very good. They put Zoe Waller on it. And in the back of my head, I'm thinking, have they put an apprentice on it just to try and hide
She's a stable apprentice.
Yeah, I know. I think she's got some improvement to do in terms of her riding. She looks a little bit awkward. That might be a bit harsh. She does look a little bit awkward in the saddle. I'm wondering if they've, just put her on to hide it a little bit, but maybe I'm clutching at straws.
Yeah, Kieran sort of was sort of a bit about it when he sort of spoke to Gareth earlier, like, he said she can sort of get in a bit of a mood just like her mum used to. So that's, yeah. It'll be interesting. Yep. Yard race for those that are good to assess that sort of stuff. Yep.
Nico Noonan, jump onto him. He's been absolutely flying. You can catch his stuff on Betfair, I reckon.
Yeah, man.
All right, race five. We go to the Melbourne Classic, they're calling this one, 2,000 metres. It is for our three-year-olds. Different gravy. This was a very impressive win on Melbourne Cup Day, $2.25 from Call Da Vinci. Didn't get a whole lot of luck in that race, $5.50. Callio is $6.50, Brave Dancer $9.50, and Snitz Sonic $12. I am going to stick with Different Gravy. This horse has just been crying out for more ground every single time. He's a three-year-old by Gayath. We know the Derby winner, Observer, is also by Gayath, so some of those are really starting to filter through and go through the grades here in Melbourne. Different Gravy just finished off like an absolute freight train there over 1,800 metres. That was off a solid tempo. I've got no reason to think he won't absolutely relish 2,000 metres. Draws perfectly in barrier five for Mark Zara, who, surprised he's not on a holiday, he's still here and he's still the man in white hot form. So I think this is probably a $2 chance, $1.90 chance, and you're currently getting as big as $2.25. So I'm quite keen. Got a little birdie to ask Henry how he thought this horse might go on a wet track. He doesn't seem to think it'll be too wet, but nonetheless, he says it shouldn't be an issue. So a bit of stable confidence there. Any thoughts, Nico?
Yeah, I couldn't argue what you've said, but sort of just not a race that I sort of really wanted to chime into. You know, I think this horse might sort of get sort of short enough. I reckon it'll start sort of $1.70, $1.80. And, you know, it might just hose up. But, yeah, sort of my interest for Melbourne is sort of non-existent. So I won't sort of say anything because it might deter punters that like it. But just follow Benny in.
All right. Race six we go to next is the Twilight Glow, listed 1,400 metres, and this horse has been off the map. Jenny Gone Bonkers was as big as $2.70, now into the red, $1.90 in favourite. She's come back even better for Team Otterbrey, Ma, and Ethan Brown. Kajanga, $4.40. This horse won on debut, hasn't been able to win again, but keeps on running into good horses, $4.40. Ruska Roma, $7. Didn't get a whole lot of luck last time. Lyrics and Song, $8. Broke the Duck last time, and Sketch is $11. Gee, Nico, I'm all over this favourite. She's the best bet of the day for me in Melbourne. Yeah. I've taken $2.60. Just what she's done, she came back from a break this preparation. She jumped out like an absolute rocket. And that win at Pakenham, she started at $1.50. It was off a fast tempo. She kicked her heads in by five lengths. You must note that the official track rating of the track that night at Pakenham was a soft six, but Form King and many other databases have it going much heavier than that, heavy nine. So that makes my confidence even higher if this rain does come. And you've got Kajangu and Ruska Roma, who might be some of the dangers here, but they're sixth up in the preparation. I think they must be coming to the end of it.
Yeah, I sort of completely agree with you. Chips in, it's the only sort of solid bet that I'm going to have at Caulfield all day. I think this is a horse that's sort of going places, and there's a lot of horses in this race that are sort of so-so. You know, deep in preparations, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, it's Chips in, Jenny Gone Bonkers for me. I think Lyrics and Song is a nice horse to watch for the future. But, yeah, it's all about one horse in this race. And I think this could start, like, proper short. I think this could just continue to be piled in two. And it all sort of depends if Tony's had a bet yet or not. Because if he hasn't, she could start $1.50, really. And that's probably her right price when you think about it. Like, she's just the here and now horse. She handles a wet track.
She maps a treat.
Yeah, there's every chance that this is the horse that is keeping Brownie around and not going on a little let up. So,
and there's every chance that this is the horse that Tony retires prior to Jenny, and this is his next best thing.
Yeah, races like an Empire Rose and stuff like that next year. They're not sort of out of the equation whatsoever.
Queen of the Turf. And she's by Morris, the Japanese stallion, who he was one of my absolute favourite horses. She looks pretty good. Race 7, the Eclipse Stakes. Group 3, 1,800 metres. Kingswood, 350. Poison Chalice, 370. Detonator Jack, 440. How did this horse not win last start? And Casino, $17, $9. Did you have anything solid here? We know Kingswood, he's got to carry a bit of weight. I thought he might have been a good horse for Perth, but instead they opt for this race.
Yeah, that's where they should have gone. Nothing for me in this race. It was it was sort of yuck. I just gave it the Kyber pretty much straight away. Like, this horse is at the top that he got talent, but you can't trust him, so.
Yeah. I am just a little bit worried about Kingswood if this rain does come and we get 10 to 15 mils of rain on the day. He's probably the most talented horse in the race, but I think Poison Chalice and Detonator Jack are probably the two if we do get that 15 mils. G'day, Daniel. How are you, mate?
Good, boys. Sorry, just cutting on you there, did I?
No, that's all right.
We've only got one more race to go, and then we'll rip into some WA form, mate.
Yeah, sounds good. Do you want me to jump out for a couple of minutes? Or?
No, that's all right. Stay on.
Okay.
You beauty.
Too easy. Right.
Race 8, Nico. This is the day's feature at Caulfield. The Zipping Classic. Won by Zipping 3 or 4 times, I want to say. Group 2, 2,400 metres. 4 times. What a champ. Used to be run at Sandown. Feels a little bit weird now that it's at Caulfield.
That's where it should be.
She's a hustler. This horse has been absolutely smashed in betting. Fours into $3.30, top price. From Light Infantryman, $4.50. He's the class runner in the race. Carries the number one saddle cloth. But 2,400 metres, does he want it? I'm not sure. LL Cants, this horse definitely wants the extra trip, $5. Kovalika, $9. Or as we like to call him, Slovalika. He's six up this preparation, $9. And Etna Rosso, $10. You're keen to be with the mares, I believe.
Oh, I am. You sort of giggled at me when I said She's a Hustler would be a good Zipping Classic horse a couple of weeks ago.
Did I?
Yeah. You said a horse like her's not going to go to a race.
We were
like
probably
that.
10 deep.
Yeah, well, Nico just a good planner of racehorses, and I think this is a good good race for her. Yeah, she was super last start, sort of just got beaten by sort of one better on the wet. She maps the treat here. I don't think 2,400 will be any issue for her. And I think she's a deserved favourite. And I'll save on LL Cants. I hope there's intent to go forward on her now because she's just not the same horse when she's not in front. And that's twice now that I've backed her thinking that she's going to go forward. And they've gone back just to run home. That's not her. And yeah, it's becoming sort of very frustrating. I can't have Light Infantryman. You know, he's had two good runs in a row, but to me, that's just him. But if you like him, like Kieran was thinking enough of him to take him to Hong Kong. So there's that, but he's the type of horse that, you know, backing grade doesn't always mean that he'll win. So
I don't think he's going quite as well as this time
last
year either, or even in the autumn when he won the Australian Cup. He does need more tempo in his races. He's probably not an instant acceleration type of horse. He likes to sit on top of a good speed, and LL Cants will do that. I would be absolutely shocked if this horse doesn't lead for you on Saturday, Nico. And what LL Cants does have in her favour is she is a good mutter. So yeah. 15 mils potentially on Saturday. She'll be hard to run down. She's a hustler. Like, I just think she's a little bit short now at $3.30. If you got the $4 plus, then well done to you. But there's just enough grey area for me to want to stay out of this race at the current prices.
Yeah, it's fair enough.
All right. Let's get the man involved. Daniel Cripps, thank you very much for coming on. What do you go by? Are all the brothers Crippo, or what's the story?
Yeah, my pleasure, James. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, we'll go with Crippo. Sounds good to me.
A quick background on yourself, mate. What really got you into racing? How long you've been in the game? And if you want to give yourself a quick plug, that'd be fine as well.
Yeah, I reckon I've been riding to my racing since 2017. I probably wasn't one who like didn't come into this sort of profession from being a racing purist. I actually just loved gambling when I left school. I was a bit of a degenerate, to be honest. Would bet on anything and everything and a mug. And it got to 2017 and I came across Dan O'Sullivan stuff, which I still use today, so GTX and now Top Rate. And from there, I kind of just, guess, got a little bit smarter, a lot more disciplined, and I sort of realised that after a couple of years, I actually had the potential to do it full-time. And April 2019, I was already thinking about making the move to trying to have a crack at doing it full-time. And I was actually living in Melbourne and I was playing footy for a team called Templestowe. I had a really bad leg break and it was like a compound fracture, and I was in hospital for a month. And in that time, obviously couldn't really do much. So I was just doing form flat out. And when I got out of hospital, I thought, life's too short to be doing something that you don't want to do. So I basically quit the full-time job that I had straight away. And, yeah, I've been punting full-time ever since. So, yeah, what's that? It's sort of 6 or 7 years now. And sort of didn't plan on it when I quit my job, but was sort of just came about, started up a tipping service, which, yeah, Cripps Racing. So any followers want to have a look at that, crippsracing.com, or follow me on the socials. And, yeah, I've been running that as well since pretty soon after I started punting full-time in the middle of 2019. So, yeah, not much has changed for the last 5 years, running the service, punting full-time, and it's been good fun.
What a life. And obviously, you played a decent level of football as well. When's the last, like, are you still playing at all, or you gave that away as well with the job?
No, I definitely wouldn't say a decent level. I was in amateurs in Perth, and probably a handy country player at best. But I never played again after I broke my leg. So I haven't played. I'm 33 now, so probably retired a couple of years earlier than what I would have liked. But yeah, it was a little bit of an ordeal, that leg break. So after that, I thought, yeah, that's enough for me. And it always clashes with the racing on a Saturday. So, yeah, when I went down the full-time path, it was probably not that I wanted to get back anyway, but, yeah, you sort of go down the racing rather than footy.
Well, the bar was set pretty high when your brother's an AFL footballer and a two-time Brownlow medalist. So,
lucky I'm older than him, so I wasn't. There's no big shoes to fill for me. So, he's obviously done good. And then I got another younger brother too, Josh, who's 10 years younger than me, and obviously not quite up to Paddy's level, but he's a much better footballer than me. He played a fair bit of waffle and whatnot.
Yeah, beautiful. I reckon because I used to. I was in the Magoos at Carlton for a little while, and I reckon I'd train with them, both of them actually, a couple of times, but those days are long, long behind me now. Yeah. we had Lockie Taylor on the podcast last week. Big shoes to follow because he did a very, very good job. Are you, Perth crew, a tight-knit bunch, or how's your relationship with those guys?
Yeah, we're all pretty tight, so play a bit of golf with Lockie and especially Terry as well, who I'm not sure, maybe I've just announced something that you guys are going to wait till next week, but he's a good mate of mine too. So, yeah, we all speak a fair bit, and I did see that Lockie got your preview multi up last weekend, so, yeah, pressure's on.
The pressure is on.
Well, it wasn't too hard. Once we got rid of the other panel member who's been letting us down, Lockie just stood up like all good blokes do, and just saluted for the lads.
Yeah.
All right, we better make it 2 in a row then.
Yeah, so the other bloke we usually have on is Little Will Alfred, the botter, but he's had an absolute fill-up today, and he won't be joining tonight, but, yeah, you'll meet him eventually.
Yeah, beautiful. Half his luck. Hope he's celebrating.
He is. That's why he's not here, for a bloody Thursday maiden at Mornington. Unbelievable stuff.
He's absolutely launched this thing. Let's get into Perth this Saturday, Ascot, day 3 of the Pinnacles, I want to say. The rail is gone right out to the 8-metre position. What have you made of how the track's played so far, and what's the weather like on Saturday?
Yeah, the Ascot track, ever since we've got back into the season, has been fantastic. I'm not one who tends to worry too much about individual lane bias. So for me, with Ascot, my main factor is the wind. It's definitely in WA, I find, the track that gets influenced most by the wind. And it's funny, I've actually, there's a lot of eyeballs on WA at the moment, so there's a heap of previews out and whatnot, and I've been listening to a few of them. And I seem like I'm the only one at the moment who's really worried about this southwesterly breeze that's forecast on Saturday. So especially by the time we say get to the wind bottom at 5 p.m, there's potentially a wind of 25 to 30 k's southwesterly, as I said, which basically for leaders or horses that race without cover, they're going to have to run smack bang into it down the back straight and as they turn for home. And normally when we see a sea breeze like that, it really does suit horses that are coming off the pace. So keep an eye on that. That will be definitely the biggest factor, I think, on Saturday. In saying that, Ascot's actually quite far east of the coast. You sort of got about 20 k's from the beach. So sometimes the sea breeze won't get there, and then obviously then everything turns upside down. And if there isn't a breeze, then Ascot tends to usually play on pace. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Yep. And rail position, you're not too worried about that going out so far this weekend?
Yeah, 8 metres. I reckon the Ascot course at the moment is in ripping nick. So everywhere's quite, like, the grass is just really even at the moment. So, historically, 8 metres could suit those on pace a little bit. But in saying that, if you get the right wind conditions at Ascot, most rail positions would suit those who are forward and midfield.
Yep, beautiful. And last one before we get stuck into this preview, are you a man who likes to get to the races? We have seen some videos circulating of you celebrating a winner at the pub. Will you be there on Saturday, or you like to just watch your friends at the pub?
No, I actually don't get there as much as what I should. So I find when I get to the races, you sometimes get distracted and not that I do a lot of betting, or I don't really do any betting at all late anymore. So all my betting is all a bit of a set and forget format, but yeah, I should get out there more, but just, I don't know, especially this time of year, like when the carnival time is, life just gets busy with Christmas parties and whatnot. So yeah, that was the video you're talking about a couple of weeks ago. That was actually at my Bucks party. So yeah, that was good fun. I was actually had 3 big bets that day, and I was 0-2 and staring down, I think would have been personally my worst ever day on the punt. So when Luana missed out. Oh, no, I was like, surely we're not 0-3 on my bus day. Come on, punting gods. So when Luana missed, found a little bit of traffic on top of the run, I thought, surely not. But, yeah, she managed to get herself out of trouble and let down. And I don't think, I didn't have a winning day, but certainly it could have been worse.
She's a very exciting horse. Her turn of foot is something else.
It is, yeah. I'm really looking forward to seeing how she goes against, obviously, the big boys of WA racing.
100%.
Yeah, no, looking forward to that. And obviously, congratulations, mate, getting married. We'll speak on that a little bit later as well.
Nah, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, race 3, that's where we're going to start. Yeah, 1,400 metres. It's a rating 66-plus race. Awesome Boys on the backup, $2.50. Just got nabbed last weekend. Fast Harry, $2.60. Second Elect from Sir Dreamalot, $10. The Horseman, $12. Yarralee, $17. And Dug Another Hole is $27. Hopefully, we're not digging any holes on Saturday. Are you with one of these favourites here?
I am. Awesome Boy, number 6. He's a horse I've always had a bit of time for. If you go back last preparation, third up over this track and distance, he led and absolutely brained him and ran a massive figure in the process. So he sort of always catches your eye just on that run. First up, resume, didn't trial. He's, as I said, he's a tough on pacer. So they actually rode him with a sit over 1,200 metres and he hit the line super. It was almost like, I actually remember at the 100 thinking, like, I wish he wasn't running as good because it was too obvious how good that run was. And I just thought to myself, wherever he goes next start, I'll be with him. And I didn't expect, he went from a class 3 to a 72 plus. I'm not sure how your ratings over there were, but that's sort of like 3 levels of class up. And even though he's only a 68 rater, so he was 2 kilos outside the handicap. And I still toyed with the idea of backing him. He went up kind of $6 or $7 and I ended up staying out, and he was so stiff not to win. He tried to go to the front, and there was a horse who in a million years you wouldn't have thought was going to pressure him for the front, but it made him do a heap of work, and he was just grabbed late, as you said. So backed up off 7 days, stays at the 1,400 metres. He's down in grade, and he gets a map, so he's barrier 2. He just has to step cleanly and make sure that nothing crosses him, and I reckon he can lead all the way here, but that is the big question mark. There's a horse just on his outside, number four, Dug Another Hole, drawn in barrier 3. Because if Awesome Boy gets crossed, you don't, like I'm taking kind of $3. If he gets crossed, you don't want to be on at 30-1. He's just not that type of horse that can sit in the box seat and sprint over the top of him. So just needs to, yeah, I really hope Brandon Louis would know he's an aggressive jockey. So handlebars down, ride his ears off until you hold the front. And then from there, I reckon he's going to be really hard to get past. And I sort of knew I was going to get a price just because Pike is on a Grant Alana Williams horse, Fast Harry, who's shooting for 4 wins in a row now. But he looks like he'll probably get pretty far back. And, yeah, hopefully that distance or the bridge is too far to get.
Yeah. No, I like what you're thinking here. Some of the boys, we all are on a form king, which is, you know, similar enough to what Dano does with weight for age ratings. And we looked at this horse's ratings last week and we saw $8 around and some of them really chimed in. And, gee, they were spewing when he was just nabbed on the line. But they got the early overs. They didn't quite get the result. But, yeah, I like it. I'm happy to back up this week.
And just the only thing to add as well, like I know just before I was speaking about how worried I am with this Westerly Breeze, but Race 3, it's only 1 p.m. I actually don't think the wind will get there in time, and if it does, it'll be fairly light. So I'd much rather back a leader at the start of the card compared to the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, make it a clean sweep. I'm with him as well. If Pikey gets this millimetre perfect and nuts me on the line again, I'm going to be sick.
The amount of times that I've run second fight this month is absolutely crazy. So I don't know if I can handle it with my mental health.
He's flying, Bucky.
He is. He's never really not flying, is he? But
no, but
always find him pretty hard to find just because he's. I feel like he's overbet a lot of the time.
Yeah, that's probably a fair chat.
All right, let's move on. Nico wants to have a bet in race 5. Happy to skip race 4, Cooper?
Yep, happy to skip race 4. And, yeah, that's like a country championship heat, so I don't really do a lot of country form. So
neither do I. That
form might as well be written in braille for me.
That's a good time to go have a schooner, I reckon. Listed race, 1,400 metres here. Hot and High, undefeated from two starts, $2.70. From Sherpa Express, $3.40. Pikey, that man we speak of. Snitzelade, $5.50. Huge drift against Luana Miss last time and ended up being right. The map was a little bit awkward there, but, gee, it's a talented horse. $5.50. Medusa, $7. And they look the only chances, Nico. Where are your thoughts here?
Right at the top. This is a very, very nice horse. Hot and High. I think she could be maybe the second best three-year-old filly in WA. Last start was just a win of a proper horse. Like, it was sort of just sort of nor here nor there throughout the run. And then when Lucy asked her to go, it was just very electric. I think barrier 3, she can sort of sit in a good prominent position. And, you know, there's horses in this race that I'm sort of like, well, you're not sort of going anywhere fast. And I think she's very progressive and she'll be in better races probably next preparation. I think she might win here. And then I don't know if you've heard anything, Cripper, if there's any ambitions to go to anything else. But, yeah, she's a very exciting horse for the future. And she's nearly the best of the day outside of the winter bottom for me. I think she'll get absolutely crunched in betting like she has the last two starts. And, yeah. 260 is a great price, I reckon.
Cooper, what are your thoughts on that? There's obviously, you know, this favourite who looks quite progressive, and then there's the two in the same ownership, Sherpa Express and Cincelade, coming through that Luana Miss form, but Luana Miss had a bit on them if she had got out earlier.
Yeah, nah, I'm with you. She looks a big jump in class, but she can't have done any more than what she's already done. I've actually marked her a little bit shorter than the sort of 250, 260 on offer. I've had something on, but I haven't fully stepped in, and I probably won't. I think it's a two-horse race. I am very respectful of Sherpa Express. Actually, he ran a faster last 200 than the one I missed in the Placid Arc last start. So I just think the reason that Hot and High will pretty hard to beat is just the map advantage. It doesn't look to be a lot of speed in this. She should be right up in the first 4 or 5, whereas you think Sherpa Express has to go back. But if they're making ground, it's going to be a really good race between two exciting three-year-olds.
Yeah, beautiful. All right, let's move on to race 7. This is where it really starts to heat up. This is a rating 78-plus race over 1,200 metres. September Born, another horse with plenty of talent, $3.70. From KTY, $4.20. Dracana is $8. CJP got this horse home at a big price last start. Cessation is $9 and Woobin Gold, $14. What's your summation of this race, Cooper?
Yeah, I'm happy to play the number 12, September Born. He's funny. He's a horse I've never been able to find him. He's been really well spruced in WA for the last 12 or so months, and he usually goes around artificially short. Like, I know you boys have been all over King of Light in the last month or so. Well, September Born was kind of the same as King of Light last year. Like, he was the three-year-old and ended up starting just over even money in the Guineas where he went and missed. So he had a really long spell, almost a year off, and then first up was pretty unlucky to just miss behind Asphalt, who's a subsequent winner. And then I reckon they just threw him in the deep end and gave him a task that was raised the bar a little bit too much. And they backed him up into the Group 3 race that Watch Me Rock ended up winning. And he was pretty hard in the market that day, went around $10. And while he was a little bit disappointing, he still was only beaten 3 lengths. But I just think the 7-day backup, second up off a really long spell, might have just flattened him. So it's, I like the setup here. A month between runs, get him going again, getting nice and fresh, drop back to 1,200. And I just think the opinion that the market's always had of this horse, I'm just surprised that he wasn't a clear-cut favourite when markets went up, just because I know that the stable were trying to probably get him into potentially a railway or a race like that. So he now gets to go back to a ratings race, drawn a little bit wide, but there's a ton of speed in this race, and Brad Parnham's one of our best jockeys over here. So I'm just going to back him in to find a spot midfield or hopefully a little bit forward of it. And yeah, I think if the real September Born turns up, he's got this field covered.
Yeah, absolutely love that. What are you thinking from that map position, Barry 11? You think he'll be able to blend into the race no problem?
I hope so. I mean, look, Barry 11 of what, 15, so he's got a couple on his outside. It just, there's so much speed in this. You've got, who have you got? You've got Castle Road, Son of the Boss, Cessation, Celestial Storm can go forward, Sky Duke's handy. So I'm really hoping they could really string out here and there just might be gaps galore. Otherwise, if there is a three deep line, hopefully he can be, yeah, just off the speed. And he's going to have, you'd say that KTY, who is probably his biggest danger, will definitely go back. And that horse last start, he's been flying over the 1,000 metres and they stepped him up to 1,200 metres last start. He just didn't have that same turn of foot. So a little bit surprised that they've kept him at 1,200. And I just don't think if September Born gets the right... I don't think if September Born gets the right run that KTY will be able to outsprint him.
Yeah, no, I love that. It's an interesting race, isn't it? Because a lot of these favourites have drawn wide. Another one, Dracana, I'll just quickly get your opinion on. I noticed the front pads are going on first time. Is that a gear change that you like to, you know, sort of steer clear of?
Yeah, it's never ideal, is it? So, I mean, Michael Grantham actually uses the pads a fair bit, so I wouldn't be completely ruling. If you did like that horse, I wouldn't be completely ruling her out just because the pads are going on. But at the same time, I think she got a bit of a birthday first up. Like, she drew wide and probably was not really regarded by the market because of that, but ended up getting that perfect run on the back of the horse that was leading up the three wide lines. So, I mean, look, if she gets that same run from that gate, then, yeah, she's obviously got to be a chance. But at the same time, I don't think that she beat anything in September Born's quality.
Yeah, no, I love it. I know Nico was very keen on September Born first up, and we were at the pub watching and just got nabbed by Ashfeldt. So that was pretty hard for him to take. Once he comes back, we'll get his opinion. But race eight, the Jungle Dawn Classic, is a listed race over 1,400 metres. They look three obvious form chances. Yorga Pride, $3.60 from Bonjoy. She's got to carry a bit of weight, but it's something she has done before, $3.80. Love and War, $5.50. Draws out in the car park. Secret Attraction is $15, and Taropa coming up to the 1,400 metres is $16. How'd you try and separate these favourites at the top of betting?
Yeah, I do agree with you where they do look the three, and I mean, wouldn't fall off my chair if something else won, but I'd be pretty surprised if the winner didn't come from one of those trio. As I said, Yorga Pride, definite chance, but when she went up favourite, it surprised me a little. I had her in my third pick, and so I'm going to stick with the two class horses here. So I'm going to make Bonjoy my main result. Funny, we just talked about September Born always being a bit of a spruik. Bonjoy's the exact same. She's a dead set winner, but she has such a strong starting price profile, always tends to go around a lot shorter than what I can mark her. So this time in, Connections would have definitely been eyeing off the Railway Stakes. That was her logical path, but she just couldn't quite pick up one of the lead-up events to book her spot into the Group 1. I don't think her runs were bad, but especially her last two, she drew low. She never could get any real flow into the race and just got held up at crucial stages. And, yeah, she wasn't disgraced at all. I mean, two back, you only have to go to see that she got beaten under a length by Watch Me Rock. And I reckon if you swap runs of those two horses, you almost swap the results. So, I mean, that's obviously Group 1 form, so you're not going to get better form than that in this race. So she misses out in the Railway, obviously. She drops back to the Mares series. She's drawn well. Again, a horse who hopefully can settle midfield into that three-deep moving line. And hopefully this time, after a couple of starts where she's been sort of crowded for room, hopefully she can get some flow into the straight. And then from there, I know you said she's carrying weight, but she's actually really well weighted under these conditions because she is the class runner. So I think off the top of my head, if she was to meet Yorga Pride in under handicap conditions, she'd be carrying about 4 kilos more than what she is under these conditions. So she's my result. And then I'm going to save on the number two, Love and War. you could probably actually say that Love and War is going better than Bonjoy because they've been contesting the same lead-up races, and she gets a really big jockey change with Clint John supported jumping back in the saddle. That trainer jockey owner combo at the moment with this recent white is generally white hot. I think they had three winners in a row last Saturday. So the only knock I have on her, and it is a big one, is she's going to come into barrier 15 once the emergency comes out. So it's a sticky gate. She's drawn a lemon. It's going to take a really good ride by CJP. Be interesting to see what they do. There doesn't look to be a heap of speed in this race. So maybe he does go forward and chance his hand. But I think while I'm happy to, I guess, make her the secondary result, just because of that barrier draw, also I'm at $6 or $5.50. I'm happy to have enough on to save, just because if she does get the right run, I reckon she's going to be hard to beat as well.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with your thoughts here. Bonjoy and Love and War are the two for me as well. Bonjoy has always been a good horse to me. As you mentioned, she's a winning machine. She's won 50% of her races. I've always thought Yorga Pride is a touch overrated, and that sounds completely harsh given her winning record, but I just don't think she has run the ratings that the one and two have here. Bonjoy, she's been quite unlucky this preparation. Maybe she's not going as well as she has done in the past, but this really does look her race, and I love barrier 8 for her. So she's on top. Love and War would have almost been my top selection if she drew better, but 16 is yuck. She's got really good form and good ratings on the board as well. And I don't know if you've noticed, Cripper, but CJP, he's copped a bad rap a couple of times because of some of those very unlucky runs on Cosmic Crusader here over the East. But he was back last week, wasn't he? I think he got a treble.
Yeah, exactly. He's probably his own harshest critic at times too. I mean, the run on Cosmic Crusader, I know there was a lot of talk about it with the Cosmic Crusader Love of War where they couldn't work out who was going to the front. But I actually thought, I think I replied to your tweet in the aftermath of it. Like, I know it wasn't an ideal run, but they actually didn't even go that hard. I reckon Cosmic Crusader, they might have had a little issue with that horse, and it probably took him until last Saturday to where we saw the real Cosmic Crusader. And then, yeah, two starts ago with that horse, I mean, CJP, what can you do? You got one out, one back, and there's just no run. So, like, sometimes in a slowly run race when you have a three deep line, you just, yeah, you're going to get boxed in, and he still got out with 150 to go. So it's just funny how much the horse elevated last start when obviously there's a lot of futures punters that wish he could have got the job done to get in the railway, because all the data gurus are saying that if he was in the group one, he would have gone very close.
Yeah. No, it was a bit of a sick watch and hard to take, but that's the game, isn't it? Nico, you dropped off just quickly. You're tipping race 7. Who are you with there? And then a quick summary of race 8.
September Born on top in the previous. Yeah, hopefully he can just bounce back to sort of his better form. It was a bit of a forgive last time. But yeah, I think he can easily bounce back to somewhere near his best. He's better than that lot. And what Cripple was alluding to with Cosmic Crusader, that was just a dagger last week. That was the real Cosmic Crusader. And then, yeah, all the ratings nerds to say he would have won the railway was just the final dagger.
Let's move on.
Oh,
surely you're with Bonjoy as well.
Yeah, 100%.
She's been one of ours.
She has. And I think she's sort of been in races that sort of haven't suited this preparation. I think this race on Saturday is just the perfect setup for her. She'll just get back into a nice position. That wind could be playing in her favour that Cripper was alluding to earlier. And, you know, she's the best horse in this race, quite clearly, I think. I think she should be a bit shorter than what she is. But she's never really a horse that gets sort of well supported in the market. She's always sort of decent sort of odds. And, yeah, I've got her clearly on top. Taropa was unlucky first up, was last start, barrier 15's no good for it. Bonjoy, clear cut for me. Good price.
Beautiful.
I like it.
Let's move on to the day's feature. The Group 1 Winterbottom Stakes, 1,200 metres, wait for age conditions. We do have a new favourite, and it is Overpass, shooting for 3 winter bottoms in a row. I don't think any horse has ever done that. Correct me if I'm wrong, Cribber. But this horse,
correct.
Yep, $2.60 in favourite now from Joker's Grin, who is a top price of $2.70 with the corpse. Ray Magnerio, $10. Willie Pike jumps off Oscar's Fortune, rides the Eastern Stater. Luana Miss, $11, draws out, but comes into $9 now with a couple scratchings. Rope them in, $14. Benedetto, $18. And Oscar's Fortune is $19. Cripper, something tells me, with the way that you think this win might play, that you may potentially not have Overpass on top.
Oh, no, certainly not. I've got him on top. yeah, I'm really fighting with myself at the moment whether to fully step in and make him a really good result. I've had something small on, but if his win wasn't in the back of my mind, he'd just be an auto bet for me. Like, I know I have a really poor handle of the Eastern States horses because I just don't follow the racing at all, as I've told you boys. But I feel like Overpass is a horse I know really well just because he's been in WA so many times, and he's obviously always hard in the market. So you sort of make sure you do a fair bit of study on him. And this is the sixth time he's been to Perth, and this is by far the best map he's ever got. Like, there is no other pressure in the race. You're probably going to have Oscar's Fortune sit outside him. But even Oscar's Fortune, I know I was on it last start, actually couldn't even keep up over the first 200 metres. So certainly not a horse that's going to be eyeballing you from the get-go. And I just feel like it's going to be one of those ones where he'll lead and give a massive kick, and I think he'll hold on. And then after the race, I'll be going like, oh, you dickhead, like, why were you not, chips in with him? So, and I think you guys are thinking the same, are you?
We are. I'll go next. Overpass clearly on top for me. Look, I will admit I've got a couple doubles rolling with Joker's Grin, so I do have him for a smaller result. But Overpass, I've had a really good bet on. I was able to get $3.50, I reckon, maybe last week. And I have stepped in. This horse gets complete control from barrier two. As you mentioned, like, Man Crush is a horse who has been able to go forward in the past. He's out of this race. Oscar's Fortune can go forward, but they went at good tempo in that race last time. And as you mentioned, he couldn't really keep up. I do think Joker's Grin is obviously the testing material and a clear second favourite. But if he's spotting Overpass the best part of 5 to 6 lengths at the top of the straight, he's going to have a bugger of a time trying to run him down. I don't think it's going to work out like it did in that Quokka earlier on in this year where he had pressure from left and right. And I reckon he might be going a little bit better now as well. That fourth placing in the Everest was very good. I know they got a few cheap sectionals, him and Kaying Rising through the middle stages, but he's just going to look the winner for a very, very long way. And I think he is a deserved favourite, Nico.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think he's immoral, to be honest. This is by far probably his best setup that he's had going to Perth. He's got a gate finally, and there's absolutely no speed or any chance of any rubbish happening with this speed map, providing he just jumps the way that he usually does. It won't matter, Cripper, about this wind. They'll be far enough behind.
Mr. Clarity himself.
Well, I just can't see how mathematically he should lose the race the way that I've got it mapped out. I think he'll roll to the front. He'll go a decent enough clip that suits him, that's not too quick to cart the others into it. And I think he'll just slip a little bit of rain around the corner and he'll be off and gone. I can't have Joker's Grin at the price he is. He gets a far worse setup in this race than he has had the last two starts. There's no speed to, bring him into it. I don't think there's any bunnies for him to tack onto. And, I love him as a horse, but I can't have him on Saturday. He's not even second elect for me. I think Luana Miss will be on Joker's back, and she's got a rip and turn of foot. She's got 51 kilos. I'm not worried about the barrier. She gets back and settles there anyway. And, I'm really excited for her and what the future holds. I just hope this isn't too much for her too soon. But, I think she'll beat Joker's Home. She's second elect for me. And, I think it might not matter, because if Overpass does what I think he'll do, it's all over by the shouting. So that's the way I'm playing the race. Overpass,
What did you make of the three-year-old filly? This is a horse she had a good result on last time. She's thrown in the deep end here, and she draws out in barrier 9, but she could potentially make that big jump.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you boys who's running the Racing Previews account, because I saw one of you tweeted out you didn't have Joker's Grid as your second pick, which
that was bad.
I certainly that made me laugh. So he's got to be. And the thing about Joker's, I actually reckon he gets a pretty good. I think he gets a pretty good map as well, just because he's actually drawn in a bit closer. If he can settle with a couple of behind him, you know, that's sort of foreign territory to him. So he's definitely the one that I'm worried about. He's going to be flying down the outside, especially you've overpassed, has done a little bit of work into that sea breeze. I do like Luana Miss. I mean, not on Saturday, but I reckon I went back and looked at the figures that she obviously ran in the past two runs, and I went back and looked at Oscar's Fortunes when he was a three-year-old. He also, he didn't actually win the Placid Up. He got done in a photo finish, which was, it's a story for another day, but they moved the rail because it was that dodgy, and, he should have pissed in, but... And Luana Miss is running much better figures than what Oscar's Fortune was. And then Oscar's Fortune came out and ran third in the Winspottom as a three-year-old. So she's definitely got the potential to elevate to a rating, I think, that's pretty competitive in this. And the other thing I wanted to touch on was the two scratchings. I know Man Crush could have potentially been a pest to the leader, but I don't think he would have been. But the two scratchings, actually, they were good roadblocks. Space Walk in Barrier 1 would have maybe been... box seat or three about the fence. It would have been nice to have two, if you're on overpass, to have two extra horses just getting in the way of your Joker's Grins and your Luana Misses. And that's what, again, I think is actually a negative for overpass that these horses have come out, because, it just means now Luana Miss, she's going to be about last, but she's only ninth instead of 11th now. So, I'm really looking forward to seeing her get peeled to the outside and seeing what she's got up against the big boys.
Yeah, no, she's definitely an exciting prospect, and we're looking forward to that. All right, we'll do this podcast multi in 1 second. I just want to give two overseas tips, and if anyone else has anything out wide before we get to that. On Saturday, race 8 at Ellerslie in New Zealand, number 1, Alvencedor. He is one of the better horses in New Zealand. I think you can back him, or maybe just put him into multi with plenty of confidence. He is into the red, but he just looks a shade above them. He's got to carry the big weight, but we trust in our man Wiramu Pin. He got the win last time. He's back to the mile. I think he'll just lead and kick their heads in. And on Sunday, the Japan Cup, this horse isn't favourite. He is rated the best horse in the world. His name is Calandigan. You can currently get around $4.75, $5. I think it's a good price to find out. A lot of horses, when they do travel to Japan, they regress off their usual ratings. But I think he's got a little wiggle room that he could regress a length, maybe a length and a half, maybe even two, and still be right in this finish. So I think it's a respectable price, because if this race was run in Europe, he would be a dominant favourite. He'd probably have a two next to his name. Goes over to Japan, you'll get $5 against some of those really talented three-year-olds in Masquerade Ball and Crew Denold, who I think they ran in the Arc last time with him, and he just didn't handle that wet track. But yeah, Calandigan, he's a very good horse, and I reckon he's a good price to find out. Nico, anything out wide? Nothing there. Anything else? Is there any Sunday racing you dabble into?
No, there is. They're running at Pijara on Sunday, but yeah, haven't just started to dive into the form before I jumped on the pod. So no, that's a job for tomorrow.
Beautiful. All right, mate. We'll give you the new ball. Test 2 of the Ashes. Mitchell Stark, you're opening. Who is the best bet on Saturday?
All right. My racing multi is going to be Ascot Race 3, number 6, Awesome Boy, straight to the front, play catch me with you can.
Beautiful. Nico, I'll let you go next.
Ascot Race 9, number 1, Overpass.
You've gone Overpass. All right, I'm going to make it. Race 6, Caulfield, number 2, Jenny Gone Bonkers for the Kieran Ma team. Ethan Brown in the saddle. This mare just looks like she's come back better, and I think she'll win. All right. Cooper, happy to stay on just for a couple questions, and then we'll wrap things up. Who's this Alex bloke? Are you mates with him?
Yeah, he's my housemate, so yeah, just ignore what that peanut has to say. But nah, in all seriousness, he's a big fan of you guys, so shout out to him. Thanks for getting me on the show. Probably his doing.
I've got to ask at least one or two. Pick one. Punting or coaching the Trinity Aquinas women's team?
Well, I do coach the girls' team down at Trinity Aquinas, and I'll probably go coaching just because when the footy season's on, normally racing over here is a we didn't even have a Belmont track over the winter, so we'll at Pinjarra by race three, they'll get into the outside fence, which is pretty grim when it's 18 degrees and pissing down with rain. So, yeah, I'll go to coach you.
Beautiful. I'll skip the second question to keep you out of trouble. Wedding in 3 weeks. Do you know the name of the venue / how much part in the organisation have you had?
Yeah, look, you know, any healthy relationship, you've got to play your role. So big shout out to my fiance, Brit. She's done a great job at organising the wedding. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to being pleasantly surprised when I get there on the day.
That's unreal. My best mate actually just got married in Bali, and we've all told him it was such a good time that he's got to do it again sometime. Mr. Brightside, does Bot work in customer service for 6 Day? Can't even get my subscription from the Android to the iPhone. Bot's not a part of 6 Day. That is all me. And no, unfortunately, you can't carry them across from one to the other because they're different companies. So if you've changed phones, I'm really sorry, but luckily it's very cheap. Sure thing, WA, regarding the Luana Miss video, which horse sold Darcy Cameron's multi?
Yeah, I didn't get that question. I did see it pop up. What are you, sold the multi?
Sold. So I'm guessing he might have had a multi that went awry because of another horse, maybe.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, he didn't mention that to me. So I reckon as I said, that was the third of the bets. I reckon a few of the boys, they all on the first one and then they butted up on the second. I reckon by the time they got to Luana Miss, there was a little bit of fatigue and set in, especially when she got to $1.50. The boys, they pulled up stumps. And so, of course, that was the one that won. But, yeah, not sure how Darcy's multi went, but it was good viewing with the, yeah. It's almost like I looked like I set it up with Paddy Darcy and Framo, but I promise you that was not scripted.
Yeah. So you're good mates with the Cameron crew?
Yes. They're good WA family. So mum and dad get along with the Cameron as well. And, I know, Darcy, probably more of, like, Paddy and a couple of other, like, more of mates of mates, but, become pretty close with him the last couple of years. He's really good fun.
Yeah, he's had a bloody good year this year. Best and fairest winner for the Pies, of course. Racing Nuff, favourite moment this spring when on track, besides Kaying Rising winning the Everest, because nothing beats that. Cooper, what's been your favourite moment?
Definitely hasn't been on track, but, yeah, I have to say, it has to be the Luana Miss. Your own Bucks party, you've got the screen up, you've tipped everyone into it. So, yeah, that was a good feeling. But, yeah, I will admit, it felt a little bit more relief than excitement.
Yeah. Nico, do you have a favourite?
Oh, without a doubt, Kane Rising. He couldn't win. all the naysayers defied the odds and did it. And they all went quiet.
It was good. I love Via Sestina winning
next year.
I love Via Sestina winning the Champion Stakes just because she was short, but she won like a champion, and she probably should have been even shorter. I saw there was $2 bet in final field in the ring on the day, so that was just sensational betting.
Cox played that Wayne, as well, I would say. Like the last.
Yeah, it was the last one. McElwebb, more of a question for you. Would Winx beat Pride of Jenny with her racing style? Even Prada Jenny at her best. Yes. Yes, she would still demolish Prada Jenny.
It's not even a question.
Yeah. As long as you don't, like, Prada Jenny's just that type of horse. If you let her get 20 lengths clear, then it's hard to sort of do it. But Bowman would have been screwed onto the fact. Connor, why can't Luana Miss win the Winterbottom? He's obviously keen on it. What are the reasons why she can and can't win Cripper?
But yeah, as I said, she's my third pick. In saying that, I do have a lot longer than the $10 currently on offer. But, yeah, while she's not impossible, I just don't know. Look, this isn't her grand final, so you're going to have to get a three-year-old filly to Pete twice. And I just don't know if she's going to be able to settle behind Joker's Grin and go past him, especially because Joker's Grin doesn't have that electric turn of foot that she does, but he's just got a sustained speed. So, I really hope they level up at the top of the straight together.
Yep. Nathan Dippy, do you foresee a future where the schedules of Our Spring and Hong Kong Carnival are looked at to try and bring the two closer together? Slightly disappointed that we have no representation for their big day coming up, given how successful Kaying Rising's trip has just been. Seems like a missed opportunity. I just think our prize money here in Australia is so good that there's no real need to go over to Hong Kong and bump into the likes of those champions, Romantic Warrior, Canyon Rising, Voyage Bubble going back to a mile, you cop Sosie and Giovolotto going to a vase. So it is disappointing that there's no Australian representation going to Hong Kong this year, but at the same time, I understand it because they're probably running for second in a few of those races, to be completely frank.
And it cuts into the autumn as well. Like,
yeah, it's very late, but yeah, Hong Kong aren't going to move their carnival, so yeah, I don't think there's anything we can do about that. Scotty Austin, is Jamie's the best each way bet of the century in the Rose Hill Midway? That is just not a race we'll be looking at. Slade Hawkins, how many lengths Bonjoy in the Jungle Dawn Cripper?
Yeah, well, hopefully 1.5. We'll take that.
Yeah, we'll take a nose.
Yeah, exactly right.
Dave Mayfield.
I'm going to review them this month, so I'm due.
Yeah. When will the video for the podcast start? I need to see Nico's frustration at Bot's $12 pod multi-choice. I don't know, Nico. It's not something we're really interested in. You're on mute.
No, that's not going to be happening anytime soon.
No, Nico needs to do his makeup, and he's not really fond of people looking at him having a beer or having a suck of an athlete cigarette at any time soon. So probably won't be happening.
Not unless they want to pay.
No. All right, only three more questions. Aiden Stocks, when rating your fields, what are the categories that you allocate points to for a horse, Cripper? Bit of an interesting question.
It's a bit of a how long's a piece of string, isn't it?
Yeah.
So say that again, sir.
When you're rating fields, what are the categories that you allocate points to for horses? So, I don't know, positives and negatives in terms of how you might forecast their next start rating.
Yeah, okay. Obviously, I'm a big data punter, so I like using the figures that is supplied to me by Dan O'Sullivan. And, yeah, you guys sound the same with the – was it Form King?
Yeah, Form King, which is Dave Fonts. Form King.
Yeah. Other than that, I really do like looking at jockey changes, so especially apprentices and seniors. Big focus for me is looking at horses who settle on pace. And I reckon one which you can find an edge is looking for horses who run well despite not being suited. So what I mean by that is, like, everyone sees the horse that gets all the favours and then pisses in. But it's the horses who, you know, whether they ran against the bias or they weren't suited by the race shape or potentially over a distance that, you know, isn't up their alley. If they run well when they're not suited, then look for them to win at their next start when they do get the favours.
Yeah, no, I love that. Isaac Fry, price up Nico on Canyon Rising or Bot on Esher over 1,200 metres. Nico might have 30 kilos on Botter, but I would still say, actually, it wouldn't be that much. It'd probably be more like 10. I'd still say $1.20 Nico and $5 Esher because she just doesn't run 12. Thoughts, Nico?
I'd give her a peach.
Yeah, there you go. Damon Winley, how did Benny miss out on the Japan junket with Liv? Just another way to get beat. Yeah, well, Liv, obviously people know my girlfriend works at race.com. She is in Japan right now for the Japan Cup, which is this Sunday. So she is a very lucky duck, and I'm looking forward to seeing some of her good content coming up. But yeah, I missed out on that trip. I couldn't really afford to take any more time off work. And the last one from Oscar Gordon, and this is a good one for you, Cripper. What price would Giga Kick be in this Winterbottom field?
That's a shocking one for me because I've got no idea about Giga Kick's form. Mm. That's when I say this, I don't know the Raiders. I generally wouldn't be able to tell you what Giga Kick's done this prep. I have I barely watch a race. I tune into the Melbourne Cup, of course, but other than that, like, it just, yeah, no interest to me until they actually come over. So. Yeah, couldn't tell you.
Be an interesting one, Nico. I mean, there'd be three genuine, really solid winning chances. I reckon Overpass still might be favourite because of the map, but Giga Kick, you couldn't have him longer than, say, $3.50.
Yeah, well, I sort of wanted to be against him, but he was going to be coming over because of the heavy track run, travel, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, he would have been prominent in betting, but I would have been taking a set against. I wish he came because it would have been a better price for my bets. But, they've made the right decision, I think.
I think the Gold Rush, if they had kicked onto that race, would have been a great race for him as well, because I honestly reckon 14 is his best trip. But anyway, it didn't happen.
And sorry, we're a little bit off topic, but speaking of the Raiders, is Ray Bagnerio just massive unders?
Yes.
On the figures, couldn't get it anywhere near $8.50.
Well, I said to Terry today,
you spoke about... Yeah, you go, Nico.
I said to Terry today that rope them in is a better chance than Benedetta and Ray McNamara, I think.
Yeah. Kribi, you spoke about that rated prices, and that was my prices. I've got him like $18, like almost double what he is right now. And I think Pikey has got onto this horse because he's tried to beat Joker's Grin twice with Oscar, and he just hasn't been able to quite get the job done. But still, I'm not prepared to say that Ray Magnerio is even a better chance than Oscar, to be completely honest.
No, I can definitely, yeah, like you said, I can see Pikey's thought process behind it. But yeah, if I was Pikey's manager, I would have 100% chosen Oscar's Fortune over Ray.
Agree. He's going to have map favours over him. He's got the form in Perth. He's ran second to Jokers twice. And look, I wouldn't be shocked if Oscar ran third again.
Yep. Great.
All right. Thanks so much for coming on, mate. We appreciate your time. It's gone over a little bit longer than I would have thought, but no, it's been amazing insight. Any final words, mate?
No, I just want to say to you boys, thank you for having me on. Love your work. Don't know how you guys do it. You seem to follow every state plus the international racing. So
we're sick.
Yeah, it's a credit to you, because I feel like at the end of a week, just from WA, I've had enough of the horses. So, yeah, any time. I'd love to do it again sometime.
Beautiful. Thanks, mate. We'll have you anytime.
Nico and I are very sick in the head, but I think the main rule with us is we go where the good horses are. So if there's group ones in Perth, Adelaide, Sha Tin, it doesn't matter. We just like following the good form and leave the country cups and the benchmark sixes to bot.
Pretty smart. Maybe I should try the same thing, but I'm doing my balls on a country maiden at Pijara on Sunday.
Love it. All right. Good luck this weekend, listeners. Hopefully we can go 2 for 2 back-to-back weeks in that podcast month.